all week long that we'll be having together has to do with the fires of devotion. I'd like to qualify that just a little bit this morning as we begin. I'm not talking about having a good time of prayer, although we'll be speaking a lot about prayer. What I mean by the fires of devotion is a life, a total life that is devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll be speaking about different ways that a devoted life expresses itself before the Lord, but we're not going to key in that way, but rather we're going to begin where the Bible does, and that is with a life that is devoted to God. Let's just bow our heads for a moment as we pray here. Father, we come to this session. In the name of Jesus, we come to You and pray that You will open up the eyes of our understanding. We pray, dear God, for each one of these that are here. We pray, Father, that You'll minister to them, Lord, the things that they need. O God, our desire is that these young people will live out their days with lives that are dedicated and devoted to Thee. Father, that is our prayer. That is our aim. I pray, Lord, that You'll guide us in that direction by Your Spirit. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, there are multitudes of young people that have passed through their formative years of youth, just like you are. They pass through their formative years of youth and on into marriage and families and occupations and service for God. And when I say multitudes, I mean multitudes. We could look at them even in this area where we live. There have been multitudes of people. They sat right where you sit today. They had their opportunity. They had their choices that they needed to make, just like you have yours to make. And I think of young people, I think of the energy that you have, I think of the opportunities that lie ahead of you. I think of young people and I realize that you're in that stage of life. It's a very special stage that God has allowed you to come into, where you're making many evaluations and you're making choices. You're finding out as your days go by that you're an individual person, that choices need to be made by you, and that your choices have consequences. So you're in those formative years right now, or there are those years where you're forming, making decisions, setting choices that will, in fact, carry you through the rest of your life. Now, it's true that you can change the direction of your life at any time and at any place for the rest of your life. But at the same time, in the youth of your years, many choices are made. You are charting courses by the choices that you make in the youth of your lives. And as I said, multitudes have sat here before you. Multitudes. They went to Bible schools, they listened, they were taught, they thought, they pondered the things they heard, and choices were made, and now they're grown, now they're older, now they're 32, they're 35, they're married, they have children, and the direction of their lives continue to go many times by the choices they made in the times just like these. So, that's an awesome thing for you. It's an exciting thing for me and those who have the privilege to stand up here and talk to you, and by the grace of God, have an opportunity to influence the directions that you choose for your lives. It's a beautiful opportunity. All of these young people, they had many dreams and goals and desires, just like you do. And I know that you have them. I know that when it's quiet, when you're by yourself, maybe on a walk somewhere, laying upon your bed at night time, early in the morning, These things go through your hearts and minds. What am I doing? What will life be for me? What are my choices? What am I choosing? What will I do with my life? All of these things go through your minds, just like the other young people who passed on before you, and now they're married, they have families, they have their occupations, they're settling into their lives. They all had their dreams, their goals, and their desires. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a way for your dreams to be fulfilled. And I trust, and I do think I'm right when I say that most of you in this room, you have the right dreams. You have the right ideals. You're not sitting around thinking, oh, when I get older, I'm going to make a lot of money, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. I believe you have the right kind of dreams and the right goals and desires. Well, there is a way for those dreams to be fulfilled, for those goals to be attained, for those desires to be satisfied in your life. And we want to see you attain them. But there are some commitments that need to be made in order for that to take place. And that's where the breakdown is. All those young people that came before you, all those multitudes who sat in classes just like this, just like you did, they had those dreams just like you do. Didn't they, Brother Ross? They had those aspirations. This is what I want. This is the kind of courtship I want. This is the kind of marriage I want. This is the kind of children I want. This is what I want to do with my life. But yet, many, many, many of them do not realize the goals that they dreamed about when they were young. Many of them, multitudes of them, those goals, those dreams, they slipped through their fingertips as life began to unfold before them. There are some commitments that need to be made, some choices that need to be made, some life patterns that must be established in your life if you're going to see those desires and those goals that you have in your heart. And we want you to have them, because nothing could bring honor and glory to God more than to see a room full of young people like this get a hold of those dreams and those desires and see them in reality. We could open it up here this morning just to share a little bit. And I know it would be a blessing. It would thrill my own heart to listen to you stand up one after another and just share. What are your dreams? What are your desires? What do you want? How do you want to see it down the road someday? I think it would bless our hearts to hear your holy desires. Those young people before you, they had the same ones. Many, many of them, they had those desires. But it takes some commitment. It takes more than just desire. It takes commitment. It takes some choices. It takes some life patterns being established. Let's turn and read at this time, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. This morning our subject is the fire on the altar that consumes. We sort of chose the theme of fire that it may go down through all of our lessons, and I plan to stay by that. And this morning we're speaking about the fire on the altar that consumes. We want to read a little bit about a fire on an altar here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And without reading a lot of verses, I'll just tell you that a good portion of chapter 6 is a prayer that King Solomon made, a prayer of dedication, a prayer of consecration that King Solomon made unto God for the people of God and for the temple that they were dedicating. So without reading all of that prayer, I'd like us to begin to read in verse 40 of chapter 6. Now, my God, let, I beseech Thee, Thine eyes be open, and let Thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into Thy resting place, Thou and the ark of Thy salvation, and let Thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of Thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, Thy servant. Now when Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered sacrifices of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. Now here we see a biblical example where the fire came down upon the altar. And I'd like us to notice that when the fire came down upon that altar, that the sacrifice was consumed. I'd like us to notice that the fire came down upon the altar when the prayer of dedication was made. The fire came down upon the altar when the consecration of the temple was made. When all of the people were there, and their hearts were lifted up to God, and they wanted God's blessing upon them, and the temple was dedicated to God, and everything was in its place, and everything was sanctified to God, and all of the pieces of furniture were dedicated to God, and the prayer of dedication was made, the fire came down upon the altar. And on the sacrifice it lighted, and that sacrifice was consumed by the fire, and the glory of God filled the temple. Now that's a beautiful picture for us to meditate upon this morning as we ponder this whole subject of youth and the fires of devotion. Because every one of us here, as we ponder that subject, every one of us here, I believe, would say, that's what I want. I want a fire that consumes my life. I want to burn up for the Lord Jesus. I want Him to have His way in my life. But I'd like for us to begin in the right place this morning and just clearly see that God doesn't just pour His fire out upon anybody, but He pours His fire out upon the temples that completely and totally dedicate themselves to the Lord God of heaven. And I want to assure you this morning, He does do that upon anyone who will do that. God does not hold back that blessing. Let's turn also to a New Testament verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 is where we want to read. Now, I'd like us to remember that the verses we read there in the Old Testament, it says that Solomon and the people of God, thus they dedicated the temple of the Lord to God. Now, reading in verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now we see from these verses the New Testament temple. Ye are the New Testament temple. And in one sense we could say that each and every one of you is an individual temple,
And the Bible says here, if you are a child of God, that you do not belong to yourself anymore, but you belong to God because the Spirit of God is inside of you. What? Know ye not? Is what Paul said to the Corinthians. And I think it's a good challenge for each one of us this morning. Don't you know that you do not belong to yourself anymore, but you belong to God? You are His temple. In the same way that that Old Testament temple was dedicated to God, now you belong to God. And God wants to do some of the same things in your life that He did in that Old Testament temple. In fact, He's longing to do it. Verse 20 says that you're bought with a price. And there becomes a motivation to help us to realize that we don't have choices on our own anymore. Lots of times with children when they're growing up, they'll often say, well, I can't wait until I grow up and I can start making my own choices and doing what I want to do. I'm sorry. Such a stage there isn't. Even though they may dream of it and look ahead to it and think that their father and mother get to choose it to do whatever they want, such a situation there isn't to the child of God, because you don't belong to yourself anymore. You're not your own, but you belong to the Lord, and you've been bought with a price, the greatest price that could ever be paid, the price of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and His broken body. And we're going to see here a little later that just the very fact that we view that price that was paid for us should cause us to completely give everything up to the Lord. What greater motivation than to realize what Christ has done for us? What else could we do but also turn around and give Him everything, just like the songwriter says? Ye are not your own, the Scripture says. Now, if we could just look a little bit at this illustration here, we're going to look at an altar this morning and just make a few references to it. There's a few sacrifices that are mentioned that I'd like to bring out this morning in our first lesson. There is the burnt offering in the Old Testament, and that burnt offering is a clear picture and type of Christ Jesus our Lord. Then we also want to look at two other offerings this morning, and that is the meat offering or meal offering and the peace offering. The first one is the burnt offering. And we'd like to just go through a little bit of a description up here this morning. As you may have seen the diagram before of the tabernacle or the temple. As you come into the tabernacle, you stand right here and you face the altar, the brazen altar. It's made out of brass. It's polished very well. You can see yourself in it as you stand there in front of it. And if you could just picture yourself this morning being an Old Testament saint walking in up to this altar, knowing that you have sinned a sin and you need to make a sacrifice for that sin that you committed. You've come in before the altar. You may have a little lamb with a rope around it, and you're standing there in front of that altar, and you look into the face, your face, and you know that you have sinned. You know that your conscience is guilty, and you cannot get your conscience clear without offering the blood of this little lamb that you have here by a rope. And you're standing there looking at this altar, and you see this little lamb, and you look into your own face, and your face is a guilty face because you have sinned a sin. That's where you stand. Then the Scriptures say that you should go over here to this side of the altar, which is also polished the same way, and you can still see yourself. But here at this place, the Bible says that they were to take that lamb and put their hands upon the head of that little lamb, acknowledging their transgressions. And if we could just Just picture yourself doing this. You're taking your sin, that which you committed, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter this morning for illustration. You're taking your sin and you're putting your sin upon this innocent little lamb that's about to be slain, and you're right over here. Then a knife is taken out, and a knife is put to the throat of that little lamb, and it is slit just like that. And if you've never seen an animal's throat slit, it would be good for every one of you to see it. It's an awesome sight. An awesome sight. The last time I was over in Kenya, I had the opportunity to see that. It was an awesome sight. Here's this goat. It was innocent. It was bound. It couldn't get away. There was nothing it could do. And the knife was taken out, and across the throat it went, and the life of that animal just came gushing out of it. Well, here's where you are. And you just put your hands upon the head. You put your sin upon that animal, that lamb, and now the throat has been slit. And you're right over here. Now you're going to move around over here, and that blood is going to be sprinkled. The blood that was shed right there is going to be sprinkled upon this altar by the priest. When he finishes sprinkling that blood upon the altar, and I want you to notice again that this is a mirror here, and you can also see, or you still can see what is going on. And the priest takes that animal that you brought and cuts it into pieces. And we're not going to go into all the details of that, but and he puts the pieces on the altar, and it is offered up to God as a sacrifice. It's called a burnt offering. It's all burned up. That is a picture of our Lord Jesus. A picture of our Lord Jesus. That's what He did for us. He offered Himself up unto God as a sacrifice for our sins. So here you are. You're an Old Testament saint. You're standing here. You're looking at the altar. Your heart has been cleared now because the blood has been shed. But now you're seeing this sacrifice, and it's being offered up unto God because of your sin. And now you stand there and you're forgiven. What a beautiful thing. Amen? Amen. To be forgiven. What a beautiful thing. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm clear. Well, many times after this sacrifice was made, not always, but many times, then there was another sacrifice or two that was made. And that is the meal, the meat offering or meal offering or the peace offering. Now these were offerings of love. Part of it was offered on the altar and part of it was kept to be eaten. Part of it was eaten by the individual who offered it and part of it was eaten by the priest. Both in the meal offering and the peace offering. And simply, if I could just say it simply here this morning, what those two offerings signified was a heart that was filled with gratitude, offering in love to God an offering, a peace offering, a thanksgiving offering, a thank you offering, a praise offering to God. And it's a symbol or a sign or a type of us giving everything to the Lord. So here we stand this morning, washed in the blood of the Lamb, recognizing the price, just like this Old Testament saint recognized the price that was paid for his heart to get clear again. We also this morning recognize the price that was paid that our hearts can be clear this morning, that we can sing those songs the way we sang them this morning with a joy and with a blessing, that we could get up today and be enthused about living another day. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. Every bit of it. So we face an altar. Well, may I say something? I think I've probably read 200 biographies in my Christian life. I've been a Christian now for 18 years, and I read them and read them and read them. Some of them are short, some of them are long. But I want to tell you, young people, something. In every single one of those biographies where God took somebody up and used them, every single one of them, they had a time in their life where everything, where they just sold out to God. Every single one of them. You will not find written in any records any person that God picked up and used in any kind of way at all who did not at one time in their life finally come to this place where they realize, look what God has done for me. Well, what will I do for God? And just gave everything to Him. You will not find it. I've read about 200 biographies. I've never found one. And there are 10,000s of thousands that were never recorded who could give you the same testimony. It's the only way. All stood in that same place of consecration, examination, dedication, sanctification. Call it what you want. I'd like to make a statement. To the degree that those people laid their lives on an altar, to that degree did God pick them up and use them. To the degree that they said, I give up everything, God, to that degree did God also pick them up and use them. We all know people who have half-hearted commitments to the Lord. Every one of us in our circle of influence, we know people who have a half-hearted commitment to the Lord. Does God use them? Do you see God working in their lives? Do you see that blessing going on and on and on and on upon them? Do you see them prospering? I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about prospering spiritually. And that which they put their hands upon spiritually, be it a business, be it a relationship, be it a family, be it some need in somebody's life, it seems like what they put their hands on, it doesn't work out real well. But at the same time, you also know people in your circle of influence who have committed themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know by watching their lives, God uses them. God picks them up. God blesses them. Sometimes people say everything they touch turns to gold. Well, I think that's a beautiful testimony of a dedicated Christian. Everything he touches or everything she touches spiritually, it turns into something good. It prospers. It gets blessing. It moves out. It prospers the kingdom of God. Well, that's what we want for you. I think that's what you want also. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, and here's a picture of it right here. I beseech you therefore, young, by the mercies of God, having looked upon what Jesus has done for you, having recognized the forgiveness of your sins, having recognized that He has changed your lives, I beseech you, I beg you therefore, young people, because of the mercies of God, that you, each one of you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is only your reasonable service. Once you have done it, do not think, oh, I've done such a great thing for God. It's only your reasonable service. Look at the price that was paid for you. It's only a reasonable service. I'd like to read just a few little verses out of Psalms to help us to see how important this is. And if I were you, and I were your age, this is what I would do. I wouldn't stop until I could sing some of these songs with all of my heart, knowing that I had done all that they say. That's what I would do if I were you. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. By the motivation of your love within my heart, let my hands move. Take my feet and let them be swift
and beautiful for thee, busy about my master's business. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. What a beautiful verse that is. Somebody met the Savior. Somebody was in love with Jesus that wrote that song. Take my silver and my gold. All of it. Not a mite would I withhold. I'll give it all to you right now, Lord. Take my moments and my days and let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will, Lord, and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. See what I'm saying? You don't get to do what you want. Take my will, Lord, and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Choices, I've given up my right to choose. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Here's another one. Listen. Since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. I care not where my Lord directs. His purpose I will fulfill, whatever it is. I know he every one protects who does his holy will. Though he may call across the sea, with Jesus I will go and tell the lost of love so free till all his power may know. My home and friends are dear to me, yet he is dearer still. In my affections first he'll be, and first his righteous will. Listen to this one. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. Have you? That's the longing of many a young person. Oh, for a peace that passes understanding. Oh, that I might have my faith increased. And have earnestly, fervently prayed. That's what young people do, isn't it? Boy, they will earnestly and fervently, they'll pray. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. And many times, that's the one thing that is lacking. That all. It takes in a lot more than many young people realize. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all must be laid. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. There's about 30 of them in here that I could have read today by 30 different authors. And I tell you, young people, every one of them broke into the reality of what they wrote, and then they were inspired to write a song. They heard it, they heard it, they heard it again, they heard it. They heard it while they were growing up. They heard it when they were young. They heard it when they were teenagers. And finally that day came in their life where they said, "That's it, that's it. It's enough. I give up. I quit. I'm giving everything." And as soon as they did, the reality of that song became theirs
And they were inspired to write it down so that others could be blessed by it. The fire will fall when that kind of an awe goes on the altar. The fire will fall. It will. This is where the fire begins to burn. Well, what does all this mean? What is all? What does all mean? We want to open it up here real quick and get your thoughts on that. I thought I'm going to enjoy myself. Let you fill in the all this morning. What does it mean? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? What does it mean? It means different things to different people, for sure. We cannot lay our all on the altar without issues coming forth. Cannot. It is... I'm looking for the word. It's an empty commitment that commits himself to God without any issues being on the altar. It's empty. What does it mean? What does all mean? We want to just get your thoughts on that a little bit. What does all mean?
Your whole life.
Mind, body, soul, and spirit. What else? Everything that's dear to you. What else? What does all mean? The direction of your life. Good. Putting your will in God's will. So it means giving up your will, doesn't it? What else? The flesh, yes. Denying our flesh. What does all mean? The plans I have to serve God. The way I think I'm going to serve God. Many of those came crumbling to the ground in people's lives, yes. My time, yes. Take my moments and my days. What else? Practical things. Yes.
Your mind, your heart, your strength.
Your mind, your heart, your strength, your soul. Yes. You see, young people, this is where many young people stop. They don't face the issues. And if the issues, whatever they may be between you and God, are not faced, if you don't stay alone with God long enough to find out what the issues are between you and God, you'll never know what it is to lay your all on the altar. It's much more than simply coming to an altar and saying, Lord, I give up. I give you everything. It's much more than that. That can be done in 2 minutes. What else? What is all? You define it this morning. Where was that?
Reputation.
Your reputation. That's a very good one. I lose my reputation. Oh, we all like our reputation, don't we? Our family? Yes, our family. Marriage. I lay my desire for marriage on the altar. Someone else. Your future, your goals, your career, your occupation, what you'd like to do with your life, it all goes on the altar. All of it. Yes. Letting go of the past. Very good. Many people can't let go of the past. Yes, you must leave it behind. Letting go of some friends. Sometimes it's friends. Oh, it's all kinds of things. I saw one man struggle at an altar. He had a half a million dollar farm sitting there that he had to throw away. I saw another man struggle over his big truck, tractor and trailer truck. He couldn't put that one on the altar. What is it? It's different for everybody. But the mistake that many young people make is They don't wait before God long enough to say, Lord, what is my all that needs to go on the altar? What is it? This blessed life that we read about here in these songs, I know that's what you want. Characteristics of a consecrated life. Let me run through them real quick. Their lives were drastically changed. Every one of them that I've ever read about. When they came to that place where they said, okay, Lord, this is it. Their lives were drastically changed. The issues that stood between them and God were dealt with and their lives were drastically changed. Number two, a testimony went out to others. Others knew it. They are different. You wouldn't know them. Number three, they had a love for God that just kept right on going. The fire started burning inside. You know how it is. Many times you have to come and get a little fire from somebody else. But when that individual finds himself there at that altar and everything is laid out on that altar, all of a sudden a fire begins to burn on the inside and you don't have to go get a fire from somebody else. There's one kindling inside of you. Another characteristic, they become immediately useful. Immediately. They become useful. They touch the lives of other people. They win souls. It just happens. They become consistent Christians. No more roller coaster. No more roller coaster because now they finally said, God, not my will, but thine be done. I am going your way. Before, they'd go God's way for a little while, then they'd choose their own way, then God's way for a little while, then they'd choose their own way again, and their life would go up and down and up and down. I'll close with this testimony. A fruitless businessman. He was a Christian, but he was fruitless. He wanted to do what was right. He even went around trying, but he was fruitless. Met up with a fruitful businessman one day and began to talk to him about his life of fruitfulness for God. And the fruitful businessman said to the fruitless businessman, there came a time in my life when I decided I don't really care what happens to me, what happens to my business, what happens to my life, what happens to my family, what happens to my money, what happens to my reputation. There came a time in my life where I decided I don't care what happens to any of these things. I'm going to give everything to God. I want to be fruitful. And from that day forward, I was a fruitful Christian. So the fruitless businessman left the fruitful businessman's office and went back to his motel room. And all night he lay before God and said, oh God, I am a fruitless businessman. Please deal with me. I don't want to be the same man when I leave this motel room. And the fruitless businessman wrestled with God for many hours. And when he got up off of his knees, he had laid his business on the altar. He had decided to give God 50% of all the money his business made. He had laid his reputation on the altar, what all the other worldly businessmen thought of him. Everything went on the altar that night. And the fruitless businessman became a fruitful businessman. And he wins three souls every day, travels all around the country, sharing with other people what God has done for him. And now the fruitless businessman is a very fruitful businessman, and he's more a preacher than he is a businessman. What do you want from God? Many times people don't wait before God long enough to find out what the issues are before the Lord. My challenge to you this morning and for this week is this. Not a quick little decision, young people, but a deep one. Let's just all week long have the spirit of that fruitless businessman who waited before God and said, God, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care what I have to give you. I want to be fruitful in my Christian life. Let's just have that attitude all this week before God that says, God, I am tired of being fruitless.
I want my life to count. I want my life to be blessed spiritually. Can we do that? If you can do that this week, let's just stand to our feet. If you can do that, if you can just keep your heart before the Lord like that this week, you stand to your feet. We'll pray together. As I pray, you pray to the Lord in your heart. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that you will deal with us this week like you did that fruitless businessman. Oh God, what are the issues that stand between me and thee? Dear Lord, I pray that you will minister to whatever my need is. I open my heart to you, Lord, and say whatever you need to do, however you need to teach me, I pray that you'll do it. And I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I just lay each one of these young people before your throne, and we pray, God, have your will in each one of their lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed till 10 minutes after.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.